Thank you, Dick. If you take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19. And, you know, the last time we were together, we finished the Gospel of Mark. And I thought, boy, what would I do next? And I thought of the book of Ephesians. All right, that's where we had our scripture reading this morning. A few years ago, we had a Sabbath school lesson on Ephesians, and I got inspired. We were going through our series on Mark, and I said, "Oh boy, I gotta do something with Ephesians." And I put that kind of on the back burner, and now here we are. And I'd like to introduce the book to you today. Now, Paul arrives some 30 years after Christ was crucified in Ephesus. And it's quite an amazing city. And I've been to other cities outside our country, all right? I've been to Romania. I've been to Tanzania, Africa. I've been to the Philippines. And usually when I go on a mission trip, I'm always excited. I'm prayed up. I'm prayed for. And when I get to the country, all right, and I meet the people and I start hearing them talk in a different language, which I don't understand, and the currency is different, and I kind of go into a panic, and I say to the Lord, "What in the world was I thinking?" And I want to get on the next plane, and I want to go back home, all right? I have learned from these mission trips, all right, that you need to depend completely on God. And that's the best part of the trip, because you know that you're being used by the Holy Spirit and you see the Holy Spirit at work. And this is what Paul experiences when he goes to Ephesus. All right? Now, I want you to take a look at this. All right? I'm in Acts chapter 19. And this chapter is about what happens when Paul comes to Ephesus. And beginning with verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." And so here he comes on the scene. He comes to Ephesus some 30 years after Christ was crucified and resurrected. And he finds a group of men, and there was about 12 of them, the Bible tells us, that followed John the Baptist. Now, you would think this is a good thing, but I looked at this, and as I was praying over this week, and here was a group of people who were holding on to the teachings of John. They were holding on to the past. And as I listened to what the Bible was telling me, it was saying to me, "Dan, please be careful. You have been close to certain teachers and preachers, and you have learned a lot from them. Don't hold on to their experience. You need to be growing. You need to be studying for yourself. You need to be praying for yourself. You need to have a living connection with Jesus Christ. you can't rely on someone else's experience. And here, Paul has found this group of men. They heard John the Baptist. They probably went to Jerusalem. And for 30 years, they held on to their teachings. And here they were. They never heard of the Holy Spirit. Apparently, they never went back. They never heard the rest of the story. They never heard of Jesus. They never heard of his teachings and preachings and the miracles that he performed. They didn't know about his crucifixion, his resurrection. They didn't know about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so they come to him and they say, hey, what are you talking about? All right, we were baptized by John. And don't let your experience be based on the past. It could have been someone close to you. It could have been a family member who shared with you Jesus Christ and opened up the Word of God to you. It could have been a pastor. It could have been an evangelist. It could have been a teacher. It doesn't matter who it was. You need to develop your own relationship with Jesus. All right? You can't live in the past. And because of this, in verse 4, it says, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance. And so he starts right where they are at. And he says, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul's going to lay his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out upon them. And how do I know the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them? And take a look down in verse 10. Yeah, because they couldn't keep it to themselves. Look at verse 10 there. And it says, this continued for 2 years so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So he started with those 12 and they shared the gospel everywhere. And this is what the Holy Spirit does when it comes to us. We just can't keep the good news to ourselves. We're going to have to tell others. We're going to have a living experience. We're going to have an experience in Jesus Christ. Yeah, and there's no greater joy than being used by the Holy Spirit and watching the Holy Spirit at work. Yeah, this is Paul's first experience to Ephesus. And would you go to Ephesus? You know, and it doesn't end there. As you look at verse 11, hey, there were some miracles that took place. Yeah, hey, there were miracles that took place through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that same Spirit works today. And just a few weeks ago, I read a story about a man who was a pastor in India. And one day, as he was in his office, he heard a knock at the door. So he opened up the door, and a man came in and said, are you the pastor of the church? And he said, yes. And he reached into his pocket, and he pulled out a gun. And the man stood there with his gun pointed at the pastor. And the pastor didn't know what to say. He said, can I help you? And a man couldn't talk, and a man couldn't do anything, and eventually the man left. He left, and the pastor, his heart was pounding in his chest. I think my heart would be pounding in my chest. And finally he sits down. His phone rings. He picks up the phone, and the man who was pointing the gun at him is on the phone. He said, Hey, he said, there were people inside your town who hired me. I live in another town. They hired me to come, and they paid me well that I would kill you. I would shoot you. And he said, but when I pointed my gun at you, my hand froze. He said, my hand froze, and it's still frozen. He said, could you pray for me that my hand will be able to work again? And so the pastor started praying for the man over the phone, and soon his hand was able to work again. A few minutes later, there was a knock at the door. Yeah, I would have sent someone else to the door, you know. But the pastor opened up the door, and it was the man. All right? The man who tried to shoot him. It's the man who called him. All right? Here, this time, the man comes back, and he hands him the gun. He says, I want to know about your God. I want to know about Jesus Christ. He says, I tried to shoot you, I couldn't, and when you prayed for me, my hand can work again. He said, I had never had anything like this. And so the minister had the privilege to share with him Jesus Christ, and he ends up baptizing the guy. And now the guy who was so opposed, the guy who was hired to kill him, is now sharing the gospel. He's going everywhere telling people what God had done to him. All right? Yeah, that God froze his hand, but more importantly, he found forgiveness. He found salvation in Jesus Christ. Yeah, God works miracles. He works miracles today. I can remember when I was in Tanzania, we baptized over 600 people. And I can remember that night after the baptism, I preached a message, and we had another appeal, and there were more people that came forward who wanted to be baptized. And as I was trying to put away my equipment, I had a projector and a computer and stuff, and the translator came over to me and said, hey, Dan, you got to come over and see this. And so I came over, and they're speaking in Swahili, so I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but there was a circle of people, all right? And in this circle, there was a person, a lady that got baptized, and she was explaining her situation. She was explaining that, hey, because she got baptized, she no longer was going to work on the Sabbath, and because of this, she lost her job. She lost her job, which is back in over there in Tanzania, jobs are important. And she went home to her parents, told them that she got baptized, and now she's a Seventh-day Adventist. And they said, well, you shouldn't have gotten baptized, and you lost your job because of it, and now we're kicking you out of the house. All right? Now, the translator's trying to tell me what's going on, and so he's a little behind because everything's happening right in front of us, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, no, Lord, what are you going to do? How is this going to be fixed? And one of the members of the church says, oh, don't worry. This lady said, I have a place in my home. You can come and you can stay at my place. And then another man's got to said, hey, I have a business. You can come work for me. And here, the church is ministering to one another, to this new person who they didn't know. And they're ministering. I turned to the translator. I wanted to know what was going on. And he's telling me this incredible story that's happening before my eyes. And he says, oh, they're used to that here. He says, what happens is, you know, usually a person will lose their job, family kicks them out, and the church helps the person, all right? And as they help the person, everybody is amazed. And then they want to know about Jesus. They want to know about what the church teaches. And pretty soon they said, you'll see this family, this lady's family, in church. And I just thought, hallelujah. God is still working miracles today. You know, I was down at camp meeting just a couple weeks ago. And there was a lady there, and I always saw her in the distance. She was avoiding people, all right? I could tell she was a hurting person. And whenever there was a crowd of people, she would walk away, and she would always stay in the distance. And I would look for her at the meetings, and I didn't see her at all the meetings. But on that last Sabbath, they had an anointing service. All right? I was asked to be one of the pastors to help pray over the people. And this lady was there. And I learned about her story. She was used and abused. And those praying people, and I'm thankful for praying people. I'm thankful for the prayer ministry in this church. God hears and he answers our prayers. You know, they told this lady that she was beautiful and that God loves her and that she's the daughter of God. And when I went to pray for her, all right, I could sense something special was taking place. It's not every time I sense that. I have anointed lots of people, but something special took place this time. And after the service, that the last service of the night, she was there in the meeting. I saw her. It was the first time she wasn't wearing her hoodie. All right? It was the first time she was with a crowd of people. Her eyes were clear. And I thought, oh, praise God. If it was just for that moment of clarity that she received, she was the one that we had camp meeting for. Yeah. Our God is at work. And he's alive and well today. And Paul was there. Yeah, there were good things that were happening. And you know what? There were some bad things that were happening. Whenever Satan sees God at work and the Holy Spirit at work, he's going to throw out counterfeits. All right? Take a look at this. I'm in Acts chapter 19, verse 13. All right? Acts 19, verse 13. It says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. There are seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And here they were, claiming to be something they were not, all right? This was a counterfeit. And so eventually, down in verse 15, they tried to do it to an evil spirit, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Yeah, he exposes them. He exposes them as phonies and fakes. And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Okay? Now, imagine that. Imagine, would you like to go to Ephesus? Okay? What a city. Yeah, this is where Paul went. All these things were happening in Ephesus. And when he writes his book to the Ephesians, which happens about 5 years later, he will write them this letter. Paul refers to some of these experiences, and he is trying to connect with the Ephesians, trying to let them know that they are loved by God. They are saved by his grace. They are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that through Jesus Christ, they can find victory over the evil one. And my thing is, today God is still saying the same thing to us today. It doesn't matter who we are or where we have been or what we have done. God is willing to accept us. He loves us unconditionally, and he wants us to be with him for all eternity. In verse 18, I'm still in Acts 19, verse 18, and many who believed came confessing and telling their deeds, and also many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it had totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Yeah, there was a lot of magic taking place there. A lot of evil things taking place in Ephesus. But Paul goes there boldly in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and things started to change. Yeah, lives were changed, people were being saved, and it was affecting especially those who made idols. It was affecting all the other religions in the area. And let me tell you, Ephesus was one of those cities where they had so many gods that they worshiped. All right? And we're going to take a look at one of the gods, which is Diana, all right, or Artemis, some of the Bibles say. And this god, Diana, they believed was the one who created and sustained life. And there was Aphrodite, there was Apollo, there was Asclepius, there was Athena, and they worshipped the Roman emperor. There was Cabera, there was Concordia, there was Demeter, there was Dionysus, there was Eris, there was Pan, there was Paon, there was Pluto, Poseidon, Serapis, even Zeus. They had all these gods that they worshipped. There were so many more, all right? I am just naming a few of them. And the point was that this was a pagan city. And Paul went in there in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was willing to share the gospel. Well, you know the story, all right? The story here in Acts chapter 19, beginning with verse 24, it says here that a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. Yeah, and he's going to get upset, and he's going to stir up all the other silversmiths, all right, because they're losing money. They say, hey, Paul teaches that idols are nothing. And there's only one true God that they should be worshiping. And so they cause a riot within the city. And in this riot, they're going to say, great is Diana, for 2 hours straight. Now, Paul is there. Paul wants to go inside, but they held him back. Yeah, they were afraid what would happen to Paul. But my question to you is, what would you do? If you came to Ephesus, would you be willing to go into that city like Paul did? What a man of God, man filled with the Holy Spirit, his love for God in his heart, his love for his fellow man, wanting to show them a better way of life. And maybe my question shouldn't be so much as about should we go to Ephesus. My question should be, what are we going to do here in Fortuna? God has people that are hurting. God has people here that he knows their hearts. People that are crying out. People who long to know who he really is. And he wants to use you and me to take the gospel to them. You know, this week I read a story about a UPS man from Riverton, Wyoming. And as he was delivering packages one day, he heard outside of a house, he heard a smoke alarm going off. And so he knocked on the door really hard, tried to yell out the person's name. Nobody was home. Nobody answered. He called the police, and the policeman was in the air. He came right by, and so they broke into the house, all right? Made sure that nobody was in there, and they saw what was causing the fire. You see, this person had a magnifying glass on a stand, and the sun was at the right height, at the right level where it was shining in. It was hitting that magnifying glass, and he had some trash that he had thrown out, and it was aiming right down into the trash and starting it to burn, and that's what triggered the alarm, and they were able to put out the fire before it got worse. Now, as I thought about that, I want to be a magnifying glass that the sun, Jesus Christ, shines upon, and I could start a fire for Jesus Christ, a fire that will just light up this world, light up Fortuna, light up Northern California, light up the United States. Yeah. I want to be a magnifying glass so that people can get a clear vision of who God really is. And that's why Jesus came to this earth. That's why Paul went to Ephesus. And may that be the desire of our hearts, to help people truly know who God is. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the plan of salvation. And thank you for the picture of God that Jesus has painted for us. Help us to reveal your love, your mercy, your grace, so that others can also not only know you and be saved by you, but that they can tell others. Oh, Lord, thank you for being here.